listeners, you're welcome to another episode of The Barman's Barbecue. Here we examine sacred cows, we roast them and serve them as it is hot.
Hey, what up, ladies and gentlemen? What up, ladies and gentlemen? It's your favorite boy, Dubai Cheyenne, and I'm here with the delectable Mirabella Polsha.
Is this supposed to be right?
Mira. The Ororuoko.
Please. Expect us.
Okay, yeah, so
we are breathing our community. We fly over.
Remember, I've told you that when we are coming for your wedding, we are blocking Aba Road.
I know what you're talking about.
Equally people cannot be blocking major roads, and will not someone I know will not block the roads. No way.
Please, they are not blocking roads. We are self-giving up. Yeah.
All right, so Bella.
Hi guys. So today we're talking about a topic that is very dear to my heart. Deconstruction.
Yay. Pillars of deconstruction. Yes, I think I'm going to add like two more to the six. Yeah. Okay. So
first off, what is deconstruction? What is deconstruction for you?
Some people don't like the word. I think Brad Jessica, he doesn't like the word deconstruction because of it has this violent undertone.
So
he rather picks a detoxification. Right, so deconstruction is like so strongholds in our minds or religious ideas that we grew up with, that so questions that we weren't allowed to talk about or to ask, you know, those things forbidden in church. You know, there's a podcast, can you say that at church podcast, something like that? I think there's a podcast, yeah.
Oh, nice. And there are a lot of deconstruction themed, reconstruction, reformation,
yeah, exactly.
Podcasts. And I'm liking the conversation.
Yeah, so deconstruction basically is that shift from what you thought was true, right, to what you now believe is true. So it's kind of like a theological renovation from how you were thinking and now how, just that metamorphosis. And I think a good scripture for deconstruction would be, but we all with unveiled faces, beholding as in a glass, the glory of God are changed into that same image from glory to glory. So from the glory of the old covenant to the glory of the new, that is like, you know, deconstruction, a transition from how I saw life to how I'm seeing life now. So basically that's what, and but what's the name, Brian Zahn calls his own water to wine. So it's kind of like that change, that transition from the water experience to the wine of the spirit, you know, that happens. And it's person specific.
Yes.
So everyone has their own unique story, their gateway, how their world views changed. Yeah. So for me, and then the other metaphor I have for deconstruction, and I really like it, it's building your house upon the sand, and then when the storms come, right, the house would not stand, right, compared to the man who builds his house upon the rock. So I remember listening to a sermon as, rather than seeing it as two different people who one building his house on the sand or building the house on the rock, it's like, you know, it's just one person that in the first half of your life, you built your house upon the sand. Then maybe the death of a loved one, a crisis of faith, you know, you prayed and God did not raise somebody from the dead. Then boom, something happens. Then you deconstruct your faith. Yeah, kind of. Yeah, because of that's kind of like a metaphor for the storms of life that hit on your house. Then you now shift to build your house on the rock. Right. So the rock, Christ, or like represents like a new place where, like, again, if storms come, hopefully you'll stand. I don't even mix it, Bella.
Yes.
All right. So that's what I do. What do you think for the construction, detoxification, reformation?
I think it's person specific, like you said. Then I also think I think it's necessary in life, for life in general, because it's just like the way people grow. What will serve the child is not what will serve you as a teenager as well. So I think people should continue asking questions, and it's okay to put your faith up for review, to grow out of some things, go into some things. I read somewhere, and I think I agree, it's dangerous to deconstruct without reconstructing. So your deconstruction should follow. I think both are happening simultaneously with me. It's good for the deconstruction and reconstruction to happen side by side. I don't know why people are scared of deconstruction, which is very weird, because I think it's a part of life. just like some kids, they'll tell them tooth fairy. When they grow up, you can't keep believing in tooth fairies, so you have to ask questions and stuff. So yes, I think construction is it, because my mother raised us to always ask questions. So just that sometimes you find out that things that were the pillar of your faith are now crumbling down, and you're like, oh my god. For instance, the first pillar of Christian construction,
this according to Kit Giles.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, yes, according to him, there are like six pillars.
Yeah, six pillars of the construction.
And somehow, whether I like it or not, these things will, like when I first met the mom used to say, yes, scatology will determine your
soteriology.
Yes. He used to say that a lot. So like the first pillar is and this one is very touchy for believers, is the Bible, the accuracy and the inerrancy of the Bible. Like, the Bible is the word of God. Bam! Whether you like it or you do not like it.
Yeah.
Is the Bible the word of God?
Yeah, the Bible is not the word of God.
Me, Jesus is the word of God. Yeah. Like, it's the same thing we're saying, yeah, no dear. Yeah.
Jesus is not the Bible.
No, no.
We don't worship Father, Son, and Holy Scripture.
Yeah. Oh my God. Oh my God. Don't leave me.
Yeah, so for me, what even helped my Bible deconstruction was what's the guy's name? You know, like in this podcast, you always better jot things down. Listen to recommendations. So it's Peter Enns.
Yeah.
Peter Enns, I read his book, The Bible Tells Me So. Why? So the subtitle of the book is Why You Should Not Bother Defending the Bible. It was so good to read. I really loved reading Peter Enns.
And then people think because something is biblical, it's Christ-centered. They're like, they keep having this argument with me. I'm like, no, it's not this. They're like, no, it's the same. I'm like, no, my dear, it's not the same. They're like, you know what we mean. I don't know what you mean when you say biblical marriages and biblical, what's it around this to say? And biblical this and biblical that. I don't understand. I don't understand people preach like you should have your burning bush experience. No, I'm not Moses. I'm not having burning bush experience. If I have a burning bush experience, then I have to have stretching field experience. That means I have to have Red Sea experience. No, I'm not. For me, the Bible is how do I put it now? Not to be offensive.
This is a record of Israel's deconstruction.
Yeah, exactly. There are books coming together to deal with people's personal experiences and relationships with God.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, there are things to pick from, things to learn from, because you'd be a fool not to learn from the experiences of others, actually.
Yeah.
And then there's Jesus and him telling you about God and that. But we take these things too, and sometimes we then use them without context, and we, like when those days when they used to preach, like, we should be daughters of Esther.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, yo, Esther, are you sure it's Esther you want to use for this
year? What about, recently I was talking to a friend, and she was like, that's something about her Boaz. I'm like,
oh my God, you need to teach us like strategic positioning. Yeah, this friend, like, don't you? I'm like, girl, like, you don't want to go to that Naomi and Ruth story. Yeah. That was a full on seduction. You know, if we were to write the story of Naomi and Ruth, what's the one? The other one is Naomi, she?
Yes, it's Ruth and Boaz.
Yes.
Yeah,
what Naomi told Ruth to do is to wear Victoria's Secret and to go to a man's house and to open the ear and to show him the sexy lingerie. In that cultural time, it wasn't that what, yes, it was easy. You saw, I'm like, biblical is not necessarily Christ-centered. But, you know, the Bible is...
The Bible is the Bible, yeah.
People think we read the Bible as it is. We actually come to the Bible with that preconceived notion.
Yeah.
It's why two of us will read the scripture. So, tell me, God says we should cover our hair, we're entering church. And I'm like, where? I cannot see it. God says you don't wear trousers. Where?
Mirabella, like that book, Crossroads, almost, you should see the conversation that, I think it was the pastor. So there was a pastor, and what's her name? I think her name was Maddie. So the argument was that a woman should not speak in church. So like Poyo just used that dialogue to unpack, or to, like, you know, it was really, really, really interesting. So Crossroads.
And we make it look like they are all in sync, but sometimes if you look at the story of the Bible, sometimes they're somehow contradicting each other. But I don't know how we bend the teaching so much, make it look like everything is in sync. It's not, and it's okay. Different people had different experiences based on. But I know someone will come and stone me.
So the first pillar of the construction is the Bible.
How are you reading your Bible?
Yeah, so I read the Bible, like we still do. Like, I read the Bible, I love the scriptures.
No, good stories. But how are we reading?
Yeah, now where do you place the Bible? So the Bible for me is not on the throne with God. Jesus is the one who is seated at the right hand of God, and I in him. You know, so yeah, so
like just like we were having this argument, and someone was like, "Jesus turned water into wine, so it's not alcoholic wine." I'm like, "Honey, please stop this. There's nothing like non alcoholic wine. Yeah. Non alcoholic wine is grape juice. Let's not deceive ourselves." Yeah. He kept on arguing. I'm like, "Okay, honey." Sorry.
And remember, so talking about money, sex, beer,
girl. Yeah, you got that. It was C.S. Lewis, no, C.H. Spurgeon's talk on alcohol for me, on wine and beer. And I was like, oh, okay. So the second pillar is, this is the one that I wanted to use and it stopped me when I first met him. Eternal torment, ooh, aka hellfire that is burning people. Okay, so I want to go to this part for you because I still don't.
Yeah, so hell, like for me, like the construction and hell, yeah, so I mean for me it started from again end time eschatology, but then reading Brad Jessek, and this is also a recommendation, Brad Jessek's Her Gates Will Never Be Shut. And I think Paul Young, I mean I know Paul, Jonathan Wilton also talked about you know, the gates of the New Jerusalem is always open. Can you imagine? And you know, in Revelation, is it 21 or 22, it says that just outside the gates, the city, there are warmongers, adulterers, and you can imagine where the New Jerusalem is situated. The neighborhood, right, of the New Jerusalem is warmongers and all those people. But guess what? The gate is open for them. The gate is open. And I feel like, so the a way to see it is that actually that the New Jerusalem is can be a metaphor for the church. So this the church's gate that is always open for those outside to come in. So yeah, for me, hell, like...
I feel like this is a whole podcast on this one. Have you done a podcast on this?
Maybe, I don't know.
Because we will ask sort of kakawas like cannot, I think they will put
that. Yeah, so, okay. But, yeah, so hell. So, but for me, like, Marilla, what's your take on hell these days?
I don't have a take yet.
Yeah, okay, I'm not formed.
I'm not reconstructed yet. I'm still destroying it. Yeah. What I know is that the Book of Revelations is a metaphorical book.
Okay.
And then nobody can tell me nothing. And nobody going to carry my 666 up. Because I used to wonder, I had this one started my construction with end time and hell, is that 666?
Oh, okay.
So people keep saying that 666 will come subtly, right? But we already know. So how subtle is subtle when everybody already knows? Do you get point. So I'm like, I guess
it's the vaccine now.
Yeah. Oh, more please, yes.
Yeah, so, but yeah, so hell, like, so, but yeah, in the house, we talk about hell a lot, and just I really enjoy unpacking it. Right, but some of the simple things, right? Just again, just something to think about. Yeah,
yeah. And I think it comes when evangelical preach, it comes with so much fear, and me, I'm not a subscriber. I don't need to subscribe to fear.
What's that like? So for me, that is like, if God is good, and if hell is God's idea, then hell must be good. Right, and if God said
this
that,
should be like a whole podcast.
If God says that, do not do eye for eye and tooth for tooth. Question is, does God do eye for eye and tooth for tooth?
Which brings me to the third pillar. This is the one that everything just shattered. Because someone was like, but come on. Is it forgiveness, really? If someone else... The third pillar is penal substitution atonement. No, penal substitutionary atonement.
Okay.
This is when we say that God was angry with us.
Yeah.
But could not punish us. Jesus. So punished Jesus. So Jesus put the punishment on our behalf, and hence we are forgiven. Which doesn't look like
in
forgiveness
Christ
to me.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my then I see.
There's a part of that song.
And assistance is free from me. No. There's that part that said that the wrath of God was satisfied.
No more. Yeah. It's not forgiveness. I'm owing you money to buy more. 20K. Yeah. Somebody now came and paid on my behalf. They've paid on my behalf. How is that forgiveness?
Yeah.
That's not forgiveness. That is that this person
paid.
So yeah. I'm free to go. Hey, it's not forgiveness. I still paid, but it's not me that paid. Now I'm indebted to the other person, basically. So I'm like, that's what I just thought of. I'm like, but that is no forgiveness.
Yeah.
So it doesn't sound like forgiveness.
Yeah, so it's either God forgive us our sins or he punished us for our sins.
We have to choose one.
So like then the narrative for going to hell before was that if you don't receive Jesus, right, who has paid the penalty for your sins, you will...
rot in hell.
Yeah, exactly. You will be
because how can you not? As in my son came and died for you. You still don't want to. You people have coconut egg.
You know, and for me, like, and so, like, I twist. Okay, so yeah, I twist the scripture. I twist the scripture before to say that if God did not punish Jesus for your sin, I mean, if God did not spare Jesus but punished him for your sin, the red hot wrath of God was on him. How shall he spare you, O sinner man? But that's not what the scripture says. It says that if God who spared not his son, how shall he not with him also freely give you all things?
How do you listen to these things?
Penal substitution. Yeah, it's really popular. So listen to Jesus versus Thanos. Yeah, so that kind of like touched on the penal substitution. And then there is the mimetic. There's the mimetic atonement theory by Andrew Rabi. This is not the place for it. But I think it's kind of just like a revelation based atonement, that the cross is not penal. Jesus was taking the wrath of God, but it was a revelation. That's what mimesis is about, that God was revealing, giving us a new picture, a new image of ourselves, that as we see it, John 17:3, this is eternal life, that they might know him, the true God, and the Son Jesus only sent. So yeah, Bella.
Then the fourth one was, it was one of the heavy pillars of my deconstruction last year with NSAIDs and all of that. The suffering in the world.
Ooh.
So when people are like, if God is good, why does he allow suffering?
That's also,
you know,
a tough, the theological word is a theodicy, the problem of suffering. So the school of thought that deals with suffering in the world is theodicy.
Mm.
Yeah, so I mean, it's really a sensitive, touchy issue, right? But I really like, but what I really love from like my community on Twitter is again, so just like what we talked about in the other podcast about death, that God is the God who dies. That when we die, he's not apart from us; he's in us, dying with us, and he's never going to leave us nor forsake us. So suffering is that God shows us too much respect and honor. So when we do things that are not in our best interest, God does not forsake us nor abandons us, and he does not interfere, even though we would like him to.
Right? I think he does, actually, positively.
Yeah, he does.
We don't give him credit enough for his goodness.
Yeah.
Number one, most of the wahala in this world, we are the one that causes.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. So once we.
It's like we don't want to own up our responsibility. We do shit and want God to come and clean up after us constantly and time again.
But what I'm saying is that when we are doing harm to ourselves and to others, I don't think God, like a robot, like...
No, he doesn't force his way. He can tell us...
Oh, you can, yeah, you suggest, you put...
Or, okay, look at the way out. But we want, humans will always want him. You know, so
He suffers with us, basically.
He suffers with us.
So that's...
Rather not.
Yeah.
He doesn't cause it. He's not the reason why... If we all owned up, if you stop blaming, now I was saying, we're having a conversation one day on the open table lunch. And like, if you stop blaming most things of demons and whatnot and forces, and we just owned up to being kind to people, being nice to each other, the world would be a better place. Yeah. If you owned up and took responsibility and just, okay, if everybody in this area, just say, in this protocol, only say, let's all love each other. Do get and sort out things amicably. Will be better for it, but people are selfish, want to do.
But I think that's where, like, so mimesis comes in, right? So I feel like what may be lacking is the lack of representation, or there are insufficient pictures of goodness that we see that we can now subconsciously imitate.
Or we don't even, people see goodness, but they take it, we always feel like there's a motive behind it every time.
Yeah. And so that's where, like, I feel like the gospel comes into play. Right, but then let's say perverted gospel is that God has an agenda.
It's transactional.
Yeah, God has an agenda. He gave his son so that
it all goes back. I think we already touched on this a little, but it's our fifth pillar, the end time hype.
Ooh, end time. Yeah.
This one I just left it sometime because I beg. Probably since my mother, I like, you know, if the end time happens, let it happen. Don't happen. I didn't even bother with theology on this one because I'm like, I beg.
Yeah, so...
If it happens, let it happen.
Yeah, so
if it don't happen, let it not happen. So, and it's not going to happen because every 2,200 days, every 10 years, somebody comes and say that they saw the trumpet blown, that they saw this person in hair fire, they saw that person wearing...
I think I saw a tweet by Kenneth Hanna. It was like, I've forgotten how you worded it, but it was... imagine if we still have to, if the earth is going to still be yet till like 8,000.
Exactly. Meaning that
we are still in the early church.
Oh.
You get so, yeah, so for Great Tribulation, all those things.
And like, they go like, just is coming soon. I'm like, but he says soon. What is soon? They're like, no, soon is not. And they try to start this inerrancy of the Bible. So when we now see things in the Bible not making sense, we now rather change things to want to make it make sense. Soon doesn't mean it. A day is 1,000 days. In a 1,000 years is one day.
Let me do one quick one. It was so God destroyed the world with the flood in Noah's time. Right, the second time, in the second coming, is going to use fire. So that by using fire, he will keep his promise to Noah. That's tricky. I don't know if you get...
It's tricky. It's
water.
I can still destroy you.
It's water. It's water.
Water.
Yeah,
fire. It's water, anyway.
So yeah, that's...
Our picture of God is very interesting. It's like a big joke.
Yeah, then the next...
Our sixth pillar is the church. What is the church?
The church, right. And I think I heard Paul Young say that the first church is the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Ooh.
That community of love that God is, that is actually the church, you know.
And the church is not a place of perfect people. We want everybody to be perfect. It's not like us now, let's be honest. In traditional churches, are considered as heretics, which is not even a bad thing. Yeah. You check the meaning of heretic. You can't ask questions, you can't question this. If you do that, it's dishonor. If you do that, it's this thing. Why not the church? We should gather together. All those.
So and the other thing, like once I was talking to a friend and I talked about how the church can be the first pillar of racism.
And exclusivity. Yes,
that we are like it's us versus them, or you are not in.
Or even if you are in, you're not rich enough, so don't sit in front.
So the constructing the church is so for me it's that lifestyle of union, right? That earth is crammed with heaven and every common bush are fire with God. Only he who sees takes up his shoes.
And we need to redefine what fellowship is. I think the very delicious fellowship I had last night was us on that brunch table, talking scriptures and eating chicken. It was so beautiful. Or like that time, me, you and Ginger were eating and talking scriptures. Those have been my best, most spiritual encounter.
Yeah, so the constructing the churches. Yeah.
It's another.
And thank God for COVID. But again, like I don't think COVID was God's idea.
No, but
the genius of God is that when by natural disaster or when by natural occurrences and by human free will, bad things happen in the world.
Yeah.
God comes into the middle of our mess and makes something beautiful out of it.
I think. What we have seen, you see human beings, we are quickly forgetting all the things we learned in COVID. We all promise ourselves that we'll rest more, we'll take a break more, we'll spend more time with our loved ones. See, since it's everybody has gone back to status quo.
Sabbath.
So those are the six. What are your tools?
The other two, for me, like my own deconstruction continued with the devil. My deconstructing the devil.
Very touching.
I don't believe in the devil. I don't believe in the devil. Of course not. Believing in the devil is not necessary for my salvation, is it?
That's the thing, I don't believe, I just don't care. Don't give you much
But for me, like, I feel like I kind of like understand the devil right now. I know what it is. I can smell the devil in a mile away, right? So the devil is basically for me that accusation, that voice that pushes you.
Well, I didn't have full focus on this tomorrow, because I have questions
That pushes you away from being a human. Like, remember when I read it yesterday, when Peter told Jesus not to go and die. Jesus said, "Get behind me, Satan."
No, so, you're not getting away with this.
It was Satan. Yeah. So my own deconstruction and the devil and all those Lucifer and all those things deconstructed. I'm done with that stuff. I mean, it's really fun and I'm free, you know.
Number eight.
Yeah. Then the other deconstruction. I said the devil. And which other one is that? We talked about. I forgot it. Prayer?
Magic. No, I don't know you.
Okay, maybe magic.
Are you sure that's what you're going to talk about?
I can't remember right now. So I think it's just devil, demons, and all this.
I think my own, one of them is that make heaven.
Oh, make heaven. So those are the pillars of the construction. So where are you in your journey? Like, does any of this make sense? Do you have questions? You can DM Bella.
Please, dear. I'm still on the.
You can DM
them. And this is a special shout out to Aurea and Kamsi for the table community.
Yeah.
So
basically, that's it. So,
I don't think you're deconstructed anymore. Yeah, because they are reconstructive.
Yeah, so.
I think you.
I'm in the cusp of a. I think it was Poyo that said we're in the cusp of a reformation. Yeah. The reformation is happening. So.
Yeah, I'm deconstructing. I'm reconstructing together. And it's hard sometimes.
All right, that's all, right. Folks. We love you. Remain rapturable.
Maranatha.
Calvary City.
Oh my God, bye!
All right, I hope you enjoyed today's barbecue. For your questions, send a DM on Instagram or Twitter at dubams @dubams. See you next time. Bye now.